May the Lord Jesus give you his peace. In Matthew 13, we have the two parables, the treasure in the field and the pearl of great price. And the opening prayer for today for St. Peter Chrysologus invokes the Lord to help us always ponder the mysteries of our salvation. And that is, in one sense, this pearl of great price is the gospel. And if you think of how a pearl is formed, a pearl is formed, you know, an oyster is a bivalve, and it takes in, it siphons in water, and it gets its nutrients from that. And then sometimes something gets lodged in between what's called its membrane, called a mantle, and the shell, and it's an irritation. And so the oyster will produce basically the same substance, I think it's mica, mother of pearl, around this source of irritation. It could be a piece of sand, and eventually you get the pearl. And so too with the task of pondering our mysteries of salvation, because in one sense, sometimes the word of God can appear to be challenging to us. It can, like that mustard seed, even bring tears of compunction and a source of irritation. But at the same time, to the fallen will, it's a source of salvation. And so constantly pondering, and this we have Blessed Virgin Mary really as our model of pondering the word of God, right? So just this morning, something of a reminder to go often, every day, to the font of sacred scripture. Lectio Divina is not only a practice, but it's also a, we can say, a refuge, just like we prayed in the responsorial psalm. In you, my God, I take refuge on the day of distress. And Lectio Divina is that one great traditional practice of the church whereby the word of God really becomes ours. And we appropriate it to ourselves, and it becomes part of us, just like that pearl within the oyster. St. Peter Chrysologus was known as Chrysologus, which means of the golden word. He was an early defender, not an early defender, but he lived in 380, but he wrote a letter to Eutyches, who was a Monophysite, who proposed that Christ had one nature, which was an error, and eventually condemned as a heresy. To submit, he wrote a letter to Eutyches, to submit to the Roman pontiff, St. Leo the Great, who wrote his famous Tome of Leo, to a letter to Flavian, and outlining who Christ is. And Christ has two natures, he's a divine nature and a human nature. And St. Peter Chrysologus defended that and tried to convince Eutyches otherwise. He also gives us a good meditation on Matthew 13 as well, with the woman who takes the leaven. And he says this woman receives the leaven of faith from God, and God hides this in three measures of flour, which he interprets as three periods of human history, from Adam to Noah, from Noah to Moses, and from Moses to Christ. And thus the woman, he writes, who in Adam ruined the entire mass of the human race with the leaven of death, Eve, restore the entire mass of our flesh in Christ with the leaven of the resurrection, Mother Mary. And it's a good figure because it gets at this aspect of grace. Elsewhere he writes, Mary corresponds to the type of leaven. She bears its likeness. She authenticates the figure, since she receives the leaven of the word from above and receives his human flesh into her virginal womb, and in her virginal womb she transfuses the heavenly man into the entire mass of dough. And that's the mystery of the incarnation, which St. Peter Chrysologus was a great, certainly proponent of, I guess, not quite the word, but expounder of the mystery of the incarnation. Very beautiful, warm language, and very elegantly spoken of. He also has a great, which we pray in the, we pray a chaplet called the Glories of Mary, and in the Joys of Mary, in the sixth joy of Mary, we pray that Mary's the first to meet the resurrection, the resurrected Christ. And here's his take on Matthew 28:1, where we read, Mary and the other Mary came to see the tomb. One of the fathers of the church. Mary and Mary came to see the tomb. And this, he writes, that they came not to see the Lord, but to because they believed that the Lord was already risen. but to see the tomb, the empty tomb. And then he also says, Mary came, the name is that of the mother of Christ. He's identifying this scripture verse with basically the Blessed Virgin Mary. That is, the mother came, the woman came, so that she who had become the mother of the dying might now become the mother of the living, so that what had been written might be fulfilled. She was the mother of all the living. This is a patristic source for what we believe by, in our prayer, that Mother Mary was the first to see the resurrected Christ. Going back to the figures that we have here, and just to kind of sum up, the figure of the pearl of great price centers somewhat around the poor, but he says, our Lord says that the kingdom is like a merchant who is in search of, and remember that these two parables are about man's response to God's offer of grace. And so this searching is important. In one sense, this merchant, you know, what is a merchant? The Greek is emporos. You might have remember the word emporium, right? It's kind of center of trade. A merchant is one who trades goods. And the will, our human will, is one who is one that searches for the good. And in trading for these different goods, oftentimes, of course, we are not pleased with them, worldly goods, because they're finite. And we are infinite, and they leave us unsatisfied. And so we have this aspect of this pearl as this now, this is out of everything else that I've experienced. This is worth my time. This is worth, in fact, my life. And so one sense, this pearl is certainly Christ. Another sense, it's charity. And in one sense, we can rejoice in being called to consecrated life, that we have, in fact, given all to possess this pearl. And there's different aspects of that that support that interpretation of sacred scripture. One of the last things maybe just to mention is that in the heavenly Jerusalem, although there's 12 foundation stones which represent the 12 apostles, all different kind of different beautiful stones, but the heavenly Jerusalem has 12 gates, and those gates are pearls. And those pearls are kind of manifold. And so just they're open day and night, because there's no night in the heavenly Jerusalem. And it corresponds very well with Isaiah 60, which this open gates for the heavenly Jerusalem, or Jerusalem is enlightened. But nevertheless, the invitation for us is the wisdom of God, the good, capital G, good for of God, which is God, is always available to us. And consequently, taking refuge, again, in sacred scripture is a great refuge in the day of distress, and also helps us to support all the different things. And you might have remembered yesterday, I made the comparison that, you know, if we can appropriate, what if we could appropriate, like, this fallen tendency to appropriate something and claim it's my own? What if we could appropriate something that once I appropriate that, it actually helps me to get rid of that fallen tendency? And we submitted that's the Blessed Virgin Mary. In Ezekiel, there's this aspect, I believe it's Ezekiel, if I'm not mistaken, it might be Baruch, of all the goods that all the merchants bring in from all over the planet basically are lost in the heart of the sea. And that heart of the sea is the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And we're brought, into one sense, to nothing, which in the Marian vow, this is what we're talking about, is kind of being annihilated. All these things that we trade, all these things that we think are good with a small g and we occupy our times with, will come to naught. Of course, the only thing that matters will be charity. And being in the Immaculate Heart of Mary, especially with the vow, the Marian vow, will dissolve all those false goods. Transitory goods will in fact be, they'll come to naught, they'll sink. And that's a good thing. And we could also say it's painful. All those merchants mourn over all those losses, and that the will mourns over the loss of these goods, but we will rejoice. And this is the path we have taken, and this is the path that, in one sense, we've already come into port with consecrated life and one foot already in the kingdom